Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 232. This is part two to Fear and Worry. Today is Sunday, February 5th, 2012. Thank you for joining the podcast in this month of February. These are the messages: Fear and Worry, Fruitful, Peace, and We Owe. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one and the conclusion on Sunday for part two. Have a great month of February, the month of love, and we love you. God bless you.
I was really thankful that we sewed a lot of work into what we did here in this 5,000 almost bag giveaway, because we had planned 5,000 flour bags to go into the sack, 5,000 oatmeals to go into the sack, 5,000 flowers to go into the sack, 5,000 raisins, 5,000 prunes, 5,000 blah, 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 and blah, 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 huh? Without that preparatory work, and without that perseverance, and without that planning, it never would have got done. We, after that tremendous thing, at 6 o'clock, we closed it down. There was nothing left here. Everything but the piano was gone. But you know something? In 1 hour, the whole place was totally cleaned up. A church came in and cleaned the whole place up, down to the very last man. He was carrying out the garbage and mopping up the kitchen. We mopped our way right out of this place. Planning. You don't have to worry about it. You just make, you designate things and you make plans. And so the Bible has never been against an orderly life. I believe in order. God is the God of order. What's lacking today in our world is discipline. We are not disciplined. We are a very undisciplined people. Times we get up when we feel like we want to get up. We do when we want to do this. We do when we want. No, there's an order to things. I know right now there are people that are going to foreign countries that need to just take care of what they should be doing at home. Helter-skelter life. It's tomorrow. It's when I get around to it. I'm a little bit... I've learned my lesson on there's a big mess. You say, oh, can we just go? We'll catch that tomorrow. You know what? The person that says that, isn't this right, Carolyn? The person that says that, people that say that, they wake up in the morning and the first thing they think about is that mess that was left from yesterday. And they say, oh no, there's that mess there. I'm not going to go in. You're not going to get me caught in that big clean-up mess. And then they find some excuse. They plan to get out of it. That's what they plan. Their faith is in a welfare check, maybe. Faith in laying a trip on someone. Someone came to me and he says, Pastor Paul, I need $325 for my rent. Yeah, well, I said, I need $2,500 for the rent down here. And $2,500 for the heat bill and $800 for the light bill. What I'm trying to say is, I don't have any money. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? Yeah, I says, I call myself a Christian, a broke one. They try to lay a trip on you. Don't you even care? You don't even care, do you, that my rent is due, $325. Well, no, not particularly I don't. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not the first bank. I mean, I don't know. I mean, can I give you what I have? And I took my pockets apart, and I had $2.38. And I thought, you know what, this is all I got. But just to get rid of this pest, I'm going to give them all that I have. Here, take it. And the same guy told me, he says, you know what? Remember this. Pastor Paul, I really like them pants you have on. I says, that's where I quit. Get out. All right, Carolyn. Is this too, you listening on the radio, is this not spiritual enough for you? No, I'm hitting it right on the head. Getting down to where the tire touches the road. It's called the nitty-gritty. And Paul ministered, he said, well, he's too nitty-gritty and his speech is deplorable. Looks is worse. He's just a short little ball-headed runt. That's what they said about him. Hey, you got to preach until the thing gets across. You have to prove that you have a vocabulary. You heard me in my entourage going ahead with all of that vocabulary that I had. Did it do any good? You didn't understand any of it anyway, did you? What good is it after we get done preaching if people haven't been made to understand? Why not keep the gospel simple? No, maybe that's too simple. Maybe that's too plain. Go to work. No, we have been made to think. We have been made to make plans, but there's an author and finisher. There's someone that has to pre-read the script. Proof it. That's like a carpenter that's building a house. He needs tools, he needs the blueprints, he needs the material, he also needs the site. It takes a whole lot of planning. A lot of planning goes into it. People marvel. They go into this IDS building down here and they say, boy, this is real nice. Do you know how much planning went into erecting such a building as the IDS? And that half of the people that were there didn't know what the next guy was doing. They just followed the blueprints. Somebody did the foundations. Somebody did the brickwork. Somebody did the insulation. Someone did the windows. Someone did the plumbing. Someone did the heating. Someone did the wiring. Someone did the communications. Someone did the judging of how the building was going to stand and so on like that, surveyed the land. Someone, and none of them knew what each other was doing, but there was a master builder in that. That had the master plan. They all went in and did their share of the work. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. Each one has been called to a particular work. God has called me to this particular work. Now, it's funny though, with many people, they've never been called to any particular type of work. And so what they do is, because they're not working, they sit in worry about themselves. God, when am I going to change? The Lord is asking the same question. When are you going to change? They're called the worriers. You ever been around a family that worries? I mean, a whole family worries. The worry family. Dad comes in. Oh, I'm sure worried. Mom comes in, I'm sure worried. And the kids come in, their heads are all wrinkled up on the brow up here. You know what, Dad? I'm really worried. And the whole family sits around worrying. Just wandering around. No, Paul didn't mean this in the text. He is warring against being fretful. He is warring against being feverish and upset. Because, see, fear is the most time-wasting, torturing, destroying power known to man. When you, let's get into something here. When you were in school, in, let's say, English class, and they ask you to get up, how many can relate with what I'm saying the first time you had to get up in front of a class? Is anybody here? Did they have a kind of a fear when they got you up the first time in front of an audience? Have you ever done that? Dear, have you ever done that? had to speak in front of an audience. And so they say, okay, well, what's your name again? Your name? Tracy. Tracy. Now Tracy is going to get up and tell us about the American Eagle. And Tracy has four teeth missing out of the top of her head. At this time in her life, she's probably the most ugliest thing that she thinks that ever walked the earth. Got some freckles, and she's got knobby little knees, and mother had a dress and it wasn't just right for her. She hates that dress. She gets up with pink tennis shoes on and orange socks, and the whole class is watching Tracy. All right, Tracy, give us your outline on the American Eagle. There are particular times in our lives when we begin to fear. I remember looking in a three-way, I was in a first suit, and I was 13 years old and I was going into high school. And they had these three-way mirrors at this store, and I've never seen a three-way mirror before in my life. And I got in there and I thought, I scared myself. I looked, there was a guy on the other side with this great, huge, long nose. And so I went like that and I thought, my God, it's me. I had never approached myself from the side. And from that day on, I was self-conscious. And I had a good side and a bad side. How many here can relate with what I'm saying? They have a fear about their good side and their bad side. Yes. I don't worry about it now because everything on me is shot. So it doesn't matter. Can you relate with us? Or maybe you can't relate with it. Yes, you sure do relate with it. All of you in here, every one of you. And so we get into a sort of a self-conscious state where we're very conscious of ourselves. And so we're always trying to cover up. We're always trying to look our best. We're always trying to be our just exactly the way we smile. We know exactly. And the certain pictures that we take. Oh, if I only look like this picture doesn't look nothing like me. It's great. And so we go through our life building up all of these fears and frustrations about our own personal self. And we just worry about our looks. There's a lot of men out there that are worried about going bald. Don't worry about it. You will go bald. Worrying. Total waste of time. Torturing yourself. Wondering what people are saying about you. Well, there is a saying, no news is good news. Then why are you inventing all these things? You haven't heard anything yet. Well, they could say it, though. What I'm saying here sounds very simple, but see, it leads into a whole lot of other things, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Oh, no, it doesn't. I can't relate with this message at all. I claim it away. Oh, yeah? And you out there that wrote the letter, I have a fear of dying, don't worry about it, you're already dead. The Bible says you have died. The life that you now live, you live in faith. And don't worry, we all have an appointment with death. I remember when I had this wreck this summer up there, I thought that was it. It wasn't. Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die. You're only going to die one time. So do it right. Don't die right where you're sitting and you listening on the radio. Don't start dying right now and then, like these old cowboy movies, die for 50 years. I've done that before. But do you remember them old movies they used to have? And they would shoot them guns. They have about 100 bullets in each gun. Bam, 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 bam. It was like machine guns. And it took the guy, I don't know how long to die. He'd fall down, and then you'd think he was dead, and then one foot would come up behind a spittoon. Whoop! And he'd sit up again, and he'd sort of wobble around, and he'd crawl and fall on the bar and knock over all the whiskey glasses and knock over everything and fall into a table and get up and knock over some chairs and stumble out onto this street out there and walk down the street and run into a horse and then hit the dusty trail and go down towards Ma Perkins' place down there where the rest of Christians were sitting in there looking at him, and he rolled around. It took him so long to die, and that's the way a lot of people are. They're dying. They have such a fear of dying, that's all they think about is dying. What's that song, Sue? Let's think about living. Hugging and a kissing and a doodle bugging or something like that. And that's where I'm at. I'm not going to worry about it because I have an appointment with death. And so we have a fear of poverty. People are afraid of being poor. And I think that's why we despise the poor, because we have a fear of being that way ourselves. It might rub off. Or fear of failure. I don't know. I have this terrible fear. If they move me up in this company, I'll fail. I have this terrible fear to go in and you know, I have an interview for a job, but I have such a fear of going in there. They're going to interview, or they're going to look right at me. Do you have an experience? And I know myself, my hands are going to be all wet and clammy, and I'll start to stink, you know. Oh, I'll end up with all my deodorant in my shoes. I know myself. God, I'm so afraid. Huh? You lay awake all night fearing that appointment with death, and you've already died. Go in there with big bags under your eyes. Had to cover up with a whole lot of makeup. You walk into the office. Oh, sorry, yeah. So-and-so couldn't be here today. And you worried all night. The guy wasn't even there. And we put ourselves through so much. Fear of betrayal. Don't worry about being betrayed. You will be betrayed many, many times in your life. You betray yourself. Fear of criticism. You afraid of being criticized? Well, the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Fear of sickness. I'm so afraid of being sick. Oh, geez. You ever go into a cafe, and here's a guy, he examined a fork. I swear, he had a magnifying glass to see if there was any egg on that fork. Know what I mean? He everything had to be, you know, he was the kind of guy, when he went to the restroom, the door opened up, and then he'd slide out so he didn't have to touch anything. And that's a fear that's coming now, isn't it? Disease. I've seen on TV, they said, now we're making a study to see if bugs can carry AIDS. And that'll be the excuse for people getting AIDS now. Oh, a bug must have got to you. So all over we have, the Bible says, there will be a spirit of fear. That's the devil. There's always two things, fear and faith, that battle one another. There will be a great spirit of fear that will fill the earth. Fear of being appreciated. I wonder if they've seen what I did. Get everything. The housewife gets everything done, and all the pillows are lined up one on top of the other and on the corners, overlapping just so. Oh, it looks so good, and has everything just so neat and so nice, and all of the books lined up. Dusted tables are just dusted to perfection. Lemon pledge, and they got the book squared off just perfect in there, and the house is shining. It's almost singing hallelujah when they open the door. Will we appreciate this? And the smell of stew floating through the house. Grandma's old recipe handed down from generations. This ought to do it. And the kids come in and they throw everything down. What's to eat? Stew. Oh, yuck. We have a fear of not being appreciated. And there's all kinds of old folks right now. You're listening on the radio, sitting in some home someplace.
They never appreciated me. My God, I gave my life to them. Now I'm up here, I'm sick, I'm old. No one cares.
That's true. But what can you do? Do you want to sit and worry about it, that you're 80 years old or 60 years old or whatever, and worry about it? No, pray for them. Make them miserable. Pray for them.
They don't appreciate me. None of my kids do. God, I gave my whole life. Look at me. I'm so crippled up with arthritis, scrubbed floors. Oh, God. Huh?
Listen, old folks. Never get into that state where you're worrying about being appreciated. That is the biggest form of self-satisfying, self-centeredness. You just gave your life. You did a good job. Just say, well, I did a good job. Don't worry about if people appreciate it or not. People don't appreciate it, period. They don't. Until you're gone, they will not appreciate the fine painting, the Van Gogh of life that you did. You'll just be some kind of a one-eared nut out there till you die. People don't appreciate you all the time. Or at least they don't tell you that. But my Lord, if God appreciates you, what more do you need? Fear of old age. Oh God, I'm going to be that way. I was looking at this guy. He was down the line. He was crippling along. And I thought, ooh. That's why I started these lines down here. I said, now all the people, and there's about 1,000 people we meet up here on Emerson and Broadway every Saturday. Standing up there. I said, from now on, 60 and over are waited on first. Why? Because I'm 54 and I've got to start planning for the future. See, we can never relate to something unless we start to get close to it. Are you hearing this? A fear of old age. There's a lot of y'all out there. I seen a guy the other day. It was so pitiful. I mean, he had the worst looking wig on I ever seen in my life. You could see daylight through the sides. You ever seen them wigs? Looks like they're made out of milk cartons that fit on your head. You can see all the corners. And I thought, oh man, this is too bad. Poor guy. I really felt bad for him. I mean, you know, what could be look so bad about a bald head? Don't answer that. Fear of not sleeping. I just know I'm not going to sleep tonight. Do you drink coffee? Oh, I just don't sleep. I don't sleep all night long. The whole night through. Huh? I don't sleep. Wake up. I wake up every half hour. 1:30. Sleep to 2. 2:30, I wake up. 3:30, I wake up. 4 o'clock I wake up. Is it sleep a half hour, sleep 20 minutes? On and off. I can't sleep. I just sit, I worry. I lay when my eyes are wide open. All of a sudden the sun's coming up. My God, the whole night has been, this night has been wasted. And you know what? When the alarm clock rings, that's when you can sleep. When it's time to go to work, that's the time you sleep. Oh, I'm so tired. I laid awake all night worrying. Oh, if I could only rest for 5 minutes. And then you fall asleep. Who do you suppose has been bothering you? The devil. You know what it says in the Bible? It says, agree with your adversary quickly whilst he is in the way. What does that mean? That means agree with him. The devil says, you know what? You are a nasty, no good sinner. Just look what you did today. And look at the thought patterns that you have. Oh, X-rated movies for sure. I mean, you belong in hell right now. You shouldn't even have a chance to even. Oh, hey, you'll never make it to heaven. Well, you agree with your adversary and say, you know what? I am a no good sinner, saved by grace, and I'm on my road to heaven, and God is able to keep me under that hour, devil. Good night. I talked to a guy the other day, he had a fear of eternity. Well, what's going to happen in eternity? Will we have anything to do? What do we do? What do we eat? Do we eat? I said, I don't know. I said, you can eat if you want to. You don't have to. You don't have to eat if you don't want to, because heaven is heaven. I mean, what does it look like? I want to know. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, is it clouds up there or whatever? I want to know. No, I said, it's a place prepared for you. There's zillions. There are as many planets as there is sand upon the seashore. And that's how many planets there are. You'll be living on one of them. There are planets, I said, that are a million times bigger than this thing. Now you're having trouble with this one. Are you going to worry about that one? See, all you do is give people that worry more things to worry about by answering stupid questions. And so, let's close here. Start to identify with your fears. Look at them. Now, fear? Fear that I'm not good enough and I'm not going to make it and I'm too sinful? You kept me awake all night long. Now I am just going to look you right in the eye and say, my God is able, and tonight I'm going to go home and I am going to sleep. And stop living that anxious, fear-filled life. Cast your burdens, the Bible says. Cast your burdens on the Lord, for He shall sustain thee. Fret not thyself. It tends only to evil in Psalm 55 and 22. Don't fret yourself. Cast your burden on the Lord. What God lays on you, then you take to God. You take what He lays on you and lay it on God. He gives us a portion of suffering. Accept it cheerfully and then take it back to Him in confidence, and He shall, it says, sustain thee. He gives us our bread. He gives us our water. He gives us our labor. He gives us what to do. And just like the limbs on the trees out there wave around in the wind, they may wave around in that wind, but they will not be uprooted. And the Bible says, Jesus says, they shall not be moved. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. The very best way is to lay your burdens upon the Lord. You'll not only carry your load, He'll carry you with the load. Now, isn't that a good one? See, what you need is the perfect peace that passes all understanding. Please, God, will you? Go to Him. Give Him your load. Cast it upon Him so He can rejoice in joy and your joy and your comfort. Now true confidence in God is attained. And resting upon God is attained. And both of them will free you of the burden that you've been carrying with all this fear and all of this worry that people carry around. I could find 1,000 things to worry about. Right now, oh God, I suppose I should worry though. We got all of these for the month. We got all of these, and we got to have money in here, and then all these people are going to be coming, Lord, and they're going to come all month, and then we got to get ready for another giveaway, and the bills just keep rolling in. Oh, I don't. I think I'm going to sit up and just worry about it. No, I'm going to pray. I think Jesus is constantly amazed how full of fears we are in our Father's world. He says, give no thought of tomorrow, and that's all we think about. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so the Bible is against worry. I've talked to many, many people in my ministry. I've talked to rich people, and you know what their main thing is? Worry. Prayed with a millionaire here just a couple of weeks ago. His main thought was worry. And you have the poor that are worrying about. They worry, but they don't have as much to worry about, but they still worry about the little bit they have, and they worry just as much. Educated people worry. Uneducated people worry. Old people worry. Young people worry. People worry under circumstances. People worry in good circumstances. People worry under harsh circumstances. People worry about money. They worry about saving the money once they get it. Worry how they're going to get it. Worry how they're going to keep it. Worry how they look. God, we got to stop it, people. This guy was having breakfast. He was out in Denver. He was out in the mountains. He says, you know, before breakfast is ready, I think I'll walk over there to the mountains. That'd be a good thing to do, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Now, the guy could have told him the mountains are 15 miles away. He says, I'll just let him find out for himself. So the guy started going after these mountains. And it seemed like as he moved towards the mountains, they moved back from him. So he started running. And about an hour and a half later, he thought, why didn't the guy tell me they were that far? And so he goes to cross this little stream there, and there was a guy standing over here at the stream. He says, what are you going to do? He says, well, I'm going to, he's taking off his clothes. I'm going to swim across this stream. He says, well, you can walk across. He says, oh, no, you're not going to do that to me again. The guy told me that the mountains, I could make it there and back before breakfast. He says, no, I'm not going to do that again. And so, you see, we pick up these worries all the time, don't we? And then when the truth is there, we don't believe it. I had a friend of mine, all night long he was in the service. Oh, God, it's so cold in here, it's so cold in here. I thought, well, man, get up and get your blanket. And so he fretted the whole night through, and all he had to do was to kill that worry about being cold, is to get another blanket and put it on. So there's things that we can do. We can get up and put another blanket on. That's like walking with pebbles in your shoes. I got this pebble in my shoes. I got this pebble in my shoe. Well, take your shoe off. It's like little kids when they have to go to the bathroom. They will not go. Ole, Ole, Olsen, all in free. They're playing. They're playing their little games, and they won't go in. They're in pain. Ooh, your turn. How many can relate with what I'm saying? See, they could take care of the worry of peeing in their pants by going to the toilet. Isn't that right? Or is that too crude? Well, we can take care of our messes. All right? By just simple means a lot of times that we want to sort of suffer with it because we... It's like it's a delight to suffer. Ooh, I have to go so bad. I wonder how long I can hold it. Ooh, I found out. That ever happened to you? Talk to a little girl. Had a bedwetting problem. Says, I can't sleep at anybody's house. Says, I wet the bed. Oh, I don't know what to do, Pastor Paul. I can't go on pajama parties. I can't go no place. So I'm like, that's a real worry, isn't it? You're listening on the radio. If you have someone that has a bedwetting problem, don't give them a bigger problem by placing condemnation on them. They might be a sound sleeper or something like that. So it happened, I prayed with a little girl that the Lord to wake her up. And the Lord woke her up. She was just going along so good for about a whole year, and then she had an accident again. I said, well, that isn't the big thing, is it? Of course, now that particular girl's grown. She's outgrown that. You think that little kids don't have fears? They're walking all over the whole north side with fears. Can I get a donut, Pastor Paul? Can we have some of them donuts? As in any place and anywhere else in the cities, there's a lot of places, suburbs. You go out in the suburbs, and I ministered out there for years. At a church out there, and you'd be surprised going to some of these great big fancy houses, and there'll be an old raggedy tail, old Davenport out there, and the folks are alcoholics. Some of the kids that come down here, or some of the kids out there, they would come down so dirty. Can we have a donut? Maybe the check went somewhere else, I don't know. Now that isn't the case with everybody, but it does happen, doesn't it? Do you think little kids have fears? Do you think rich kids have fears? I mean, somebody has to get down to the nitty-gritty. Somebody has to get down and say, hey, somebody has to minister to these needs. Stop worrying about all this hoity-toity, hyphaloity preaching where you just claim things away and there are no things to deal with and there's no trials and there's no tribulations in life and there's no holding back. Don't worry about things that you can't help. Don't worry about A-bombs dropping on you. There's children all over.
Pastor Paul, they're teaching that there's going to be a terrible war and they're going to drop bombs on us and everything and we're never going to get out of this. Or Pastor Paul, my dad said if things don't happen, he's going to leave. Little kids, just little teeny kids.
They have real worries. No, each day is born with a brand new set of problems. Behind every cloud is another cloud. Fooled you, didn't I? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow it will only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow, live right now. Because you live 1,000 deaths living tomorrow. Psalm 37:1, I'm wrapping it up. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. And it's so hard for us as believers, in our hours of trials, in our hours of adversities, not to fret about the abundant prosperity of evildoers. To fret is to worry, to have heartburn, to fume, to have fire in your bones, to do a slow, jealous roast over someone that's making it when you're not. Neither be envious, it goes on, against the workers of iniquity. Now old Adam gets jealous of the rich and the great. But don't worry about them. They're just getting fat for the slaughter. God knows how to handle rich and poor. And so worry only hurts the one that worries. Don't stop it, please. As much that lies within you, stop worrying. Don't worry about your salvation. That is sin in its grossest nature. Or maybe some legalistic preacher. Maybe you listen to 14 radio programs every day and read every pamphlet there is. And so you get confused. One day, boy, I feel saved today. And then in your head, maybe it's kind of like that how long can I hold it thing. And so maybe you're cussing God out. You swear words against God and everything, you know what I mean? And you're just saying all these things. And if I could only stop. What do you think? Just doing that to you, the devil. When it doesn't become a great big issue, when you know that Jesus loves you right in the middle of your mental cuss out, and that's how much he loves you, it won't bother you anymore. Isn't that mercy? Right in the middle of this warfare that's going on. Oh, I hate God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal man, your flesh, hates God, it says. The Bible says. But that there's another part of you. There's a spiritual part of you. The real you that's living in this tent. Realize that a cure is available for it, will you? Realize that we in some measure can help ourselves. That we can cultivate the habit of looking for the very best instead of the worst. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why do you have to think about all the junk all the time? Why do you have to think about your miserable self all the time? Think about some other miserable person. Don't get hoggish. But lastly, the most supreme of the supreme remedies is prayer. And everything, oh, Marge, my sister, God bless you. And we both were into this. This alcohol and this. I started working in a whore town when I was 9 years old. My sister the same way, got into the same kind of living, got into music and professional dancing and the drinks and drugs. And this scripture, thank you. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In nothing it's saying, be anxious. Sound crazy? So is worry. Whatever makes you anxious, give it to God today. Take your worries to, and it says, He will deliver you out of them all. He will give you peace. My peace I give unto you. Do you want His peace? How many of you want the peace of God? God, I want it. Then give Him your anxious. God, here's my anxious. I realize that's not correct in English, but it sure gets people listening. God, I'm going to give you my anxious. Give me your perfect peace that passes all understanding. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know Him.